And for all of you that didn't get the sweet escape of going upstairs, you know, grab your Bibles. You're stuck with me for the next 3 hours. I'm just kidding. That was a joke. Grab your Bibles if you would. We're going through the book of Romans, so we're getting close to the end. So turn to Romans 15, and this week we'll be covering verses 22 through 33. I'm not here to surprise you or trick you, so where we're going is something that's really popped out in this section of Scripture, is this idea of striving, and when we strive, what we should be striving in is striving in prayer. So that's what I would title this message. Let me pray before we read. Father, I'm aware that it's good to be here on Sunday. There's a lot of reasons, but it's good to ask that question. Why do we gather together? Why do we come together? What are we supposed to be doing here? What is your purpose and your hope and your will for us, Lord? And it strikes me this morning how all week long, with the input of the world and all the things that we have to do, the world gets bigger and bigger and more important, and you seem to get smaller and smaller if we're not intentional to invest that time with you. So, Father, I just pray that today, Holy Spirit, that you'd fill me and fill everyone here in your presence, Lord, that you would speak to us through your word, and that you would be made bigger and our world be made smaller today, that we would grow in faith in you, grow in maturity, growing in love. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom. All right, there you go. Do you know what that means? Shalom. Peace be with you. There you go. Hey, Romans 15, 22. You got your seatbelts buckled? Here we go. Verse 22. This is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. So this is a letter, right? Who's writing it? We believe based on what the letter says, what history shows us, Paul is writing this letter. Who's he writing it to? Romans? Who? Like all the Romans? The church, right? The believers that are in Romans. So he's like, this is the reason why I've so often been hindered from coming to you. Well, if we rewound and went to what we talked about last week, one of the problems here is Paul's talking about there's so many people who haven't heard about Jesus, and that he's been asked by God to share this good news about Jesus with people who don't have a religious foundation, as opposed to going and preaching in a church somewhere where people have a foundation. Because God asked him to do that, it makes it harder for him to get back and just hang with the other believers, okay? So that's what he's being hindered. So 22, and it says, this is the reason why I have so often been hindered from coming to you. But now, since I no longer have any room for work, it's not working here. Yeah. Okay. There we go. So you can see here in verse 23, but now, since I no longer have any room for work in these regions, and since I have longed for many years to come to you, that's not going to work on my end. Sorry, technical difficulties, right, when they're working. For many years to come to you, we'll pick up with verse 24. In 24, it says, I hope to see you in passing as I go to Spain. So he really wants to go to Spain and to be helped on my journey there by you once I have enjoyed your company for a while. So Paul's mission. First of all, what Paul was teaching us here, guys, we've been going through this book. He's been talking about that. One of Paul's missions was this, to preach the good news about Jesus where people haven't heard about him, right? So that's great. Or maybe they heard about Jesus, but they heard about him in kind of a false or incomplete type of way, right? So he's gone to these people to correct these mistakes or to teach them something new about this good news. The other part of Paul's mission was this, to remind those who know Jesus about God's truths and the promises that overcome our feelings, fears, and circumstances so that we will remember Jesus' goodness, love, faithfulness, power, and mercy, and to encourage them to mature in their faith. Wow, Will, that's a lot of words. Okay, let's see if we can take that down to something more manageable here. So first of all, what Paul was up to is he was sharing about Jesus with people who hadn't heard, right? And we get that. There's kind of that call in the church, like, go out and share the gospel with the world, you know, teaching them our ways, baptizing them in the name of Jesus, right? And then the second part was this reminder. He's writing these letters to people, and like he said in the earlier part of chapter 15, he's like, guys, I'm confident that there's the goodness of God in you. I'm not doubting that you believe, but sometimes I've got to write you bold reminders about what it is to follow Jesus if you're going to continue to mature. You need to be reminded. It's kind of like this morning what I'm saying. The world gets so big, is screaming at you, seems to be the most important thing, takes all of your focus, and you take your eyes off of Jesus, who is our only hope. So that's what Paul's doing. So my question for you is, then, do you think, for those of us who follow Jesus, should we be up to those same things? I believe, yeah. I believe what we get to be part of here, because God's made this aware to us, aware to me, other leaders in this church. We've shared this with you guys, and you keep coming back, which is telling me that I think you guys are onto something. I think God is speaking to you, but this holy man up front who's supposed to have all the answers and save the world is not what God meant. What God meant is that his people would be here, they would share this good news, live this good news everywhere that they went. But they wouldn't only be going out and sharing this with people who maybe don't have the faith, but they'd also be coming together at times to remind one another, to encourage one another, to spur one another on and growing. So there's this growing and going, as some churches might call it, right? That's what Paul was up to. That's what we want to be up to. So let me follow his example. Here's a reminder for you. Remember this from earlier. We don't want to move forward and forget this earlier in chapter 15. This comes from verse 13. Chapter 15, verse 13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I saw some words I like there a lot. Joy, yeah, I want that. Peace, yeah, where do I sign up for peace? And hope. Where I need more hope. Right, hope? That's right. So sign me up for all of those things and what Paul is reminding us. And I know that you already know this, and maybe you haven't heard this before. So for those who haven't heard this, hear this a first time. For those who've heard this 1,000 times, remember. Like, hope, joy, peace, they don't come based on your striving. They don't come based on your circumstances. Circumstances can give you a happy day, a sad day, an excited day, a nervous day, sure. True joy, true peace, true hope, especially the hope that abounds, that's so great it pours out of you and it becomes contagious to people around you, that get it on them, right? There's so much hope. That's who you want to be. You want that. There's only one place, and that's the God of hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember that. Okay, Paul, we did what you did, right? Good. Verse 25, Paul goes on to say, at present, however, I am going to Jerusalem, bringing aid to the saints. Who are the saints? What's that? Go ahead and speak up, guys. The believers, right? So he's going to Jerusalem, and he's sharing aid. What could the aid be? What's that? Money? Maybe money, I mean, in this form, they believe it's money based on the commentary I read, but, you know, money, supplies, food, all of that could be of aid to somebody. So he's actually bringing a tangible, physical thing to the believers in Jerusalem. For Macedonia, verse 26 says, and Achaia have been pleased to make some contribution to the poor among the saints at Jerusalem. For they were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them. For if the Gentiles have come to share in their spiritual blessings, they ought also to be of service to them in material blessings. So you see, it's this sharing, right? Like, we've been invited to join the family, right, of God, which was the original promise to the Jews. So in turn, they're like, of course we're going to provide physical blessings and material blessings, since we've received so much spiritual blessing from our Father. Verse 28, when therefore I have completed this and have delivered to them what has been collected, I will leave for Spain by way of you. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ." So we pause there a moment, and it caused me to ask this question. Okay, Paul's writing this letter. What did Paul want? What did Paul want? Well, first thing it said that he's longed for many years to come to you, and you being the believers in Rome. So Paul really wanted to get to Rome to be around the believers, the people that believed like he did, you know, maybe people he had relationships with. He had this desire to get back to Rome. He also had this desire. He asked them to pray that he might be rescued from those who are disobedient in Judea. That is from the New American Standard Version. We were reading this, and Brandy found that in her Bible, and I like the way that said that. He could see that there was an opposition to what he was doing. And the phrase he uses to describe that is, he needed a rescue from those who are disobedient. I like that, because the reality of your experience and mine is there are spiritual things at work. We know that based on the scripture, right? We have an enemy. There's the host of heaven, both good and bad, right? That are after us. And Paul says that there is the powers and principalities of darkness that are coming after us, and we are fighting against them, not just flesh. However, we take on the most damage and the most hurt from people acting in disobedient ways. But I love what Paul said this too. He says, I know when I come to you, even though he wanted to get there, right? Even though he wanted to get there, even though he wanted to get away from those people who were trying to destroy him because they were being disobedient in Judea, he knew that when I come to you, I will come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. Have you ever done something looking back that was probably not what God wanted you to do? And it wasn't a complete experience? Have you really wanted to do something? I've had people move away because they thought moving away from their problems might solve them, and then later they share, yeah, that has not been a full and complete experience, and I wish we could come back. Or, I really want this car, so you buy that car and it's breaking down on you. I really want this. This is what I need, and you go for it, and it's empty. It's half as good as it should be. It's not complete. So when I get that, what he's saying, when he comes, man, he wants it to be in the fullness of the blessing of God. Yeah. And I could see why Paul would want those things. He wants to be rescued from harm. He wants to be in the comfort. There is some benefit to having this fellowship. The early church is one of the things that they did is they were together. I mean, they prayed, but they were together. They prayed and they submitted themselves to the teaching, right, of the teachers and preachers and elders who were over them. They broke bread and they had fellowship. And in that, they loved one another. And in their love, it showed the world. And that's why you had in Acts people, like thousands of people getting baptized every day. And most churches are like, 3 people got baptized this year, right? And they're doing good if they did that. So there's a difference because we're not necessarily doing what we originally designed to do. And Paul wanted to get back to that. I get that, Paul. I see it. But I see God's timing is so important. Romans 15, verse 30, and I was back to this. I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I may be delivered from the unbelievers and Judea, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, so that by God's will I may come to you with joy and be refreshed in your company. May the God of peace be with you all. Amen. Once again, the God of peace, right? You want peace? There's one place to get it. And you can see that he's hoping that he can come with joy and be refreshed in the company of other believers. Well, and here's what it is that God's really asked me to talk to you about today. To bring this question, what are we striving towards? What's striving mean to you? Wrestling, what do you say here? Working towards. Anyone else? Another? You're climbing a ladder up there, trying real hard. Focus. Yeah. A goal, like going towards a goal. Does that have a feeling of lightness to it? Or is that a heavy, burdensome type feeling when you think about striving for something? Yeah. I think it can be heavy, but at the same time, we almost become programmed, if you're like me, that you feel good because you're doing what you think you're supposed to be because you're trying hard. Because as the saying goes, here's a good example. For me, I love sports. Okay, I love sports. I've loved them since I was young. Most of my life, I have what the doctors would call a little bit of a weight problem, okay? So I am not necessarily the fastest runner or can't run the longest amount of time, but I tried really hard. As a matter of fact, we were playing basketball with a group of guys from the church, and as you can see, I mean, I'm built for basketball, right? I mean, just, yeah. Yeah. Above the rim, we're talking when I get out there, suit up. But I try really hard, and so I do something we like to call Angry Hobbit basketball, which is just like real short and, I don't know, hairy and sweaty and all that. Right, it's not pretty to watch, but the ball gets stolen sometimes. You know, every once in a while, you get that play. But all of these things are striving and trying hard, and there's anguish involved. And then we bring that into the church life, and it really wrecks up things. I mean, what things in your life have you been taught to strive towards? It doesn't have to be church answers. Anyone bold enough to share? What's that? Goals. Set goals and go for them. Pressing into a career. Retirement. Yeah. Security. Anyone ever like push it to try to get people to like them? Like, I feel like I gotta please people. Like, just striving towards that. The job, the finances. I mean, we try hard at a lot of things, and either you become addicted to the trying hard, or you quit because it's just too hard. And then we see Jesus, you know, coming to say that he struggled and strived on our behalf. And there was anguish and there was bleeding and there was pain and there was death. And he gave up everything so that we wouldn't have to, yet we keep trying to act that same way and struggle in relationships and struggle with finances and struggle with health. And we're pushing it. Or we quit, and offer nothing. And then Jesus says things like, hey, come follow me. And well, what are we going to eat? There's all these people. What are we going to eat? And Jesus is like, okay, you're trying too hard. Follow me. I have a way that's lighter. I have a way that includes work, but your work won't be anguish. I have an unforced way to live. And we read that, and our experience is so different, we can't even connect the two. And no wonder your experience is not a light and loving and joyous thing necessarily, a more an experience of anguish and pushing and trying. Now bring this into the church life. What are you striving to do in the church life?
Help others.
Okay. Yeah. What were you gonna say? Yeah. What, man? Do it in your own strength. That's the problem with striving. But church would tell you, don't say these words. Okay? Try hard. Don't say these words. Say these words. You know, we're striving, like, okay, give money to missions. Yeah, go knock doors down, right, to tell them about Jesus. You know, share and get this many people saved like you can, right? Like we're doing that, or strive not to have a bad sexual thought. Strive, right, not to be angry. Strive to always act like some feathered-haired Jesus that doesn't exist, right? Always be kind, guys. Come in, you know, love one another. Don't be messy. Don't show them that you're struggling. Strive, push, 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 push. If you're a church leader, you better be a superhuman. If you're a children's church, you better need to go every week of every year until you die. Don't eat that. Don't drink that. Drink this. Eat this. We got 75 services this week at the church. You need to be at all of them. I mean, we're trying and we're trying and we're striving and we're striving. And it's on you to visit everyone in the hospital. It's on you to take a meal to all 87 people who are sick this week, right? Striving, 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 striving. And Jesus says, I want you to do some of those things, but don't do it without me in your own power, because then you're just striving. Then you're just striving. And then Paul puts this a little bit on its head, in my opinion, because, like, okay, guys, men especially, right, men, the fixers, Paul, he's got to get to Rome. He wants to get to Rome, and we want him to come to Rome. What are we going to do? Go get him, maybe, right? Maybe go get him. Maybe send him money. Maybe, oh, Billy can go preach the gospel. Billy, you know, your bird, yeah. Billy, Joey, whatever name, they can go do this. We would strive in our own power, make a plan, have a campaign at the church, have a little figure of Paul here, and we'd raise money, right? We'd just strive until he was full over the top of his head, and then we would send for him and bring him here because we got to do this. And then what would happen when, I mean, his ministry would fall apart, but what would Paul's visit be like? It'd be like 60% at best of what it could be, because it wouldn't be God's timing. I could use my imagination of the things that could happen. But in that disobedience and in that striving, we're interfering with the same God who's never late, the same God who's always on time, the same God who's always in control. We are sabotaging. And so Paul's like, guys, I'm writing a letter, and some of you are really new to the faith, some of you have been at this a while, but the point of this, and the point of why you guys are here, if you've heard about Jesus, you've accepted him, and you haven't been beamed up to heaven somehow. He's got stuff for you to do, ways in which he wants you to mature and grow. And so my job here is not to save you, but to remind you and encourage you and spur you on. Like Paul, to say, he's like, you want to try something. You know what's going on. Paul's like, I got opposition, but I don't want you sending an army to destroy the disobedient ones in Judah that are messing with me, right? I want to come see you, but I don't want you to send a rescue party or have a campaign to raise money so I can get back. He said, what I want you to do is join me in striving together in prayers to God, to strive together with me in your prayers to God. Do you ever like strive in praying? Do you know what that is? That a thing for you? It's a little different. I've read this before. And I think I kind of missed the power of that. Because if this God is the one that gives peace and joy, right? If he's the source of love, if my ability to love is dependent on me receiving God's love first, the actual beginning, the source of power for any of these good things that I want has to be God. And so I'm going to everything else but the source. So if we want to try hard at something, if we want to focus on something, if you want to do something, what we should do is pray. And by way of confession, sometimes, geez, man, if any of you guys, we've been living life together at all, doesn't it often be the it's the last thing that comes up, right? Like, oh, I guess we should pray. Instead of the first thing, the most important thing, we're striving to solve all the problems, and then thank you, God, for making me so smart I could solve all the problems, is the afterthought. And that is not what the scripture says. Or, okay, now I've tried everything else and I can't seem to do this, we'll call in support. Connecting to God. See, Paul wanted to reunite with the believers in Rome. He knew the importance of unity of people who follow Jesus, but he didn't force it. And oddly enough, the scripture doesn't say, you know, it doesn't say specifically whether he ever made it to Spain. There's other documents that tell us he probably did. So did he get what he wanted? I don't know. It's not clearly stated in his letters here or in Acts. But we believe he did at the right time, right? And some people believe that he came back to Rome sometime around 60 to 62 AD. This is what people are saying, okay, not the Bible. And then by the time he left and by the time he came back again, Nero had already done his whole burning down of Rome. But God knows, and God has perfect timing. But he didn't force it. He prayed, learning to live an unforced life. So God's been really clear. Will, I'm taking you through things, and I'm teaching you because you're still a mess. And then you be honest and share with the people what I'm teaching you, and hopefully you can begin to do this by example. And here's what I'm learning, okay? Check this out. Here's what Brandy and I are both learning, because I know that we're doing this. Sometimes getting what you think you want is less important than getting peace. So I'll say that in a different way. Let's say Paul never made it back to Rome, but the fact that he was living an unforced, peace-driven, faith-based life would create a whole lot more joy than 10 parties in Rome with the believers. That's a fact. That is a fact. I really want to move to where there's a beach. Sure, that would be great, and the beaches are beautiful. Of course, it's so expensive to live there, you'd work around the clock and wouldn't get to see the beach, but that's a whole other story that only God maybe knows. But let's say you never get to live by the beach. If you stop forcing it and you go at God's rhythm and you're not striving for that, but instead striving for connection with God, striving for oneness with God, striving for unity with God and unity with other believers, you're going to get so much joy and peace that's going to be pouring out of you. And that's going to be better than the thing you really wanted. And I pray that God would give you the thing that's in your heart. I pray that he put it in there and therefore will give it to you at a point in time. But I'm telling you, if we begin walking in a faith-based, spirit-led, unforced life, this joy, peace, right, and hope that are going to come out of us are going to be far greater than even your heart's greatest desires. It's like an old pastor I used to have. He's, you know, bloom where you're planted, he would say. And there's some truth to that. Okay, so what you're saying, Will, is that prayer is the thing we should be striving for. Yeah. What you're saying is that we should live less forced lives, more spirit-led, God-led lives. Yeah, I am. But I think here's my failure in the past is I talked to you about that, and then we didn't pray. So I've asked my favorite prayer warrior to come help me today, because we've been praying about this. And so this is my wife, Brandy, and I've asked her to come up. Yeah, give her a hand. So, Brandy, we were talking about this at home, and I think both of us just believe that we're going through Romans for a purpose, and then it's always amazing, right? We go through a book, that we have over the years prayed, and then we're like, do this book next, and then we see God show up week after week after week and apply that. And right now, this prayer, this connecting with God, this living an unforced life so that we can find his peace, joy, and hope. That's what it's about at our house. And so we were talking about this, and she had just kind of praying, and she was talking about ways to pray. I asked her, well, how would you pray? And when she said that, I'm like, yeah. The Lord's like, can you ask her to come do that? So I will turn that over to you.
All right. So you might have to give me a little bit to just calm down, because I'm not like him up here. So Will had asked me to do this because he knows this is something I absolutely love and I have a passion for, is just community prayer. And of course, I like to do it in my home by myself too. So I just wanted to share with you this morning some ways that we can do this, and why not live out the scripture this morning, right? I think we don't do that enough. And so we're going to do something a little different and a little unusual, and it might make you feel a little uncomfortable. And what I always say about that is good. Let's get out of our box a little bit. So this morning we are going to strive in prayer for God together, just like Paul did in his letter. So how I just kind of wanted to start this out a little bit is that I know over the last few months we have been through a lot together as a church, and God has really asked all of us, I think, to step out of our comfort zone and out of our box and to do more for him and to be obedient. And what I do know with that, what comes is there's always somebody that's lurking around, he is the enemy. And he is prowling around, and he is wanting to destroy what God is asking us to do. He wants to cause division in this church, because what have we done? We've come together in unity, and we're striving together to make these moves forward. Yeah. And so I know this, that these things that are up here on the screen, back here for me, are some of the greatest tools and weapons for warfare. So this is what we're going to do this morning. And I just want to kind of go through it a little bit just to explain to you what we're doing and why we're doing the things that we're doing up here. So we are going to all do this together, and you guys can do it however you want. I want the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you. So if you want to get up out of your chair and you want to come up to the front and pray, or you want to go to the back, or if you want to sit in a corner, or if you want to get down and kneel, or maybe you want to make a little fort with your chair and hide under it, because I'm going to have you guys speak this out loud, though. You guys aren't going to do this silently in your head, because this is another form of a tool, a weapon for warfare, too, is we have to speak this out together in unity. So we are going to do that, and you guys can do it quietly if you'd like to. You can do it in a soft whisper, or we had some shouting last weekend, you know, and if you want to do that, then you do it, whatever the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. Mm-hmm. So first we're going to go into a time of worship and praise to the Lord, and just who he is. Who is he to you? Who is he when you read the Bible? What sticks out to you? Is he your consuming fire? Is he your solid rock and your foundation? Is he Lord God Almighty? Is he King of Kings and Lord of Lords? And I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And so we just want to, I mean, Corey did awesome this morning. So I told Will, I was like, wow, this is great. Maybe Corey should come up here and do this. I mean, he was doing that, right? He was praising and worshiping God for who he was this morning. And so we want to do that. And if you want to lift hands, whatever you want to do, you just do it. So next, we need to go into a time of repentance, because we want to come before God in such a humble way. And so we want to ask the Holy Spirit to search in us those things that maybe we need to repent of, because we need to have clean hands and a clean heart to be able to come before the Lord and ask him what he wants us to pray for. And then the next thing is, I always like to do, again, this is just something that I do, guys. This isn't like a formula that you guys have to stick to. So is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is so awesome, because I think it reminds us, and how Will's talking about these reminders, we have to remember how good God is to us every day, always. And so we just want to thank him for the things that he's done in the past, what he's doing right now in our hearts. And so I think the cool thing about this is, like, when we do this, when we start giving thanks, it opens up our heart to feel God's love for us, and we are just so drawn to him, and then we want to pour that love back out. So this is why it's so good to have this Thanksgiving. And then we are going to go into the time of prayer, because we've done all these things. We've set ourselves up for the time of prayer. And what we want to do is we want to ask Jesus, because he's our intercessor, right? Mm-hmm. We want to ask Jesus, how are you praying? How are you praying for the church? How are you praying for the community? Whatever he's leading you to do. The cool thing about asking God how he's praying is that the pressure is really off of you guys. It's like simple. He's just like, here, this is how I want to pray, instead of like trying to pull something out. What should I pray for? There's no pressure. Just ask him, how are you praying? And that's how we want it. But we want to do it together in unity. And that's why we ask him, because he's gonna do this to all of us. He's gonna tell us, every one of us, what to pray together in unity. And again, we're gonna do this out loud. And because he's gotta hear us, yeah, too, you know, we're not gonna be quiet. I didn't know if I wanted to share this story or not, but is it okay if I share a little story?
Sure, whatever.
And I didn't bring the scripture, so if anybody needs the scripture for this, I can give it to them later. But so God has brought me on this journey last year of doing research about joy and peace, and it was really weird because he took me just through the Old Testament, and it was just a lot of research and stuff like that, and I came upon this story in the Old Testament about these people. They were just struggling in their town, and they were going through a hard time, and just a lot of bad things were coming on them, and there was just a lot of moaning and a lot of crying. And then there's this part where the people of God, came around all this moaning and this crying, and they worship and praise God, and it was so loud that you can hear it from miles away, and you couldn't even hear the moaning and the crying anymore, because their focus was different. And so this is what I want to do this morning, is I want God to be able to hear us. I want him to know that we're serious. And yeah, it might be awkward and uncomfortable, but we're going to do that this morning. And so now we're going to walk this out, right?
Yes. Yeah, I think, so think about it like this. The discipleship was never intended just to be like a class on Sunday night, but it's people walking in the faith, sharing with each other, like, this is how I'm learning to follow Jesus. They share with one another, and the people who maybe have been through something and God taught them share that with the people who come behind them or after them, no matter what the age. And so I asked her to do that. So we'll leave the slide up here so you'll have those kind of cues and reminders of what we're going through. Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and dim the lights. We're going to have some music playing in the background. And I'm just going to start us off, and then I'm going to turn off the mic, and then you guys are just going to go for it. And we don't have to do this together. Like, maybe God is going to ask you to start with repentance, or you feel like you're done with the praise and worship and you want to move on. And some people might finish before others, but don't worry about the people around you. Just, again, let the Spirit lead. So, all right. Ready to get started? Heavenly Father, we just come before you in such a humble way. We just love you so much, Father, and we thank you for giving us the opportunity to just stop everything and set it all down before you, Lord, and just be able to come together in unity and one accord in the way that you're praying, Jesus, and just pray together. And Holy Spirit, we just ask that you would fill this room, that you would guide our time of prayer, that we would just leave all else, everything that we're struggling with, everything that might be a distraction, Lord, that we would just set it down and we would just come and give you our undivided attention, because you deserve all praise and worship, Lord. You deserve a clean heart and clean hands, and you deserve all of our thanksgiving, Lord. So we come before you in a humble way, Father, and we just give you our everything. We give you our all.